Expert Translator Interview Number 8. Pilar Gracia.
Today, we are interviewing here Pilar Gracia, who is an expert in translation from Bolivia. And with that, let's get started with the interview. So, Pilar, thank you for taking the time to complete the phone interview with us today.
Thank you.
And can you tell us how many years of experience do you have working as a translator?
Okay, I began translating in 1990, so that means that I'm in the business around 20 years.
All right, and how many languages can you translate into?
Spanish to English and English to Spanish.
That's great. Do you have any formal education or background in the field of translation?
Well, I'm an X-ray technician that graduated from Cedars of Lebanon Hospital in California. So over the years, I continued studying English, but I did not have the chance to pursue a certification yet. That's what I'm trying to do now.
All right.
So I don't have a formal, you know.
Right. And what are the day-to-day responsibilities of the translation job?
Okay, I thought of three things.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is that translation has to be accurate. And it is the same for interpretation. You have to translate and accurately, and you have to interpret accurately, right?
Right.
The second thing that I thought about is that you have to comply with the deadlines.
Right. That's a very
and
good
one. And the third thing is that you have to present your work
mm-hmm.
tidy, very tidy and orderly.
All right.
So those
very
are the
good.
Three things that I thought about.
Very nice, thank you. So what are some of the skills and abilities necessary for someone to succeed in this job?
Okay, the first and most important skill I found to be vital in this trade is that you have to have a full knowledge of your mother language, or mother tongue as it's said in other places, right? Because
right.
it will enable you to understand better other languages in their written or oral forms as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are different in structure.
Right.
So I think the translators have to be able to communicate skillfully in their own language first in order to perform a reliable job in other languages. If they cannot express themselves in their own language, they are in trouble, you know?
Right. And do you go on.
Yeah, I have two more things that I thought about. The second skill is to have an ample knowledge of the literary and common idiomatic use of the language you're translating into. And that has to come through a constant exposure to its pronunciation and written form. It is not too good to just, translate without listening to the language, you know, on a constant basis, you know. And the third thing that I thought of is that the third skill that you need involves the easy use of the technical gadgets now at hand, such as a computer and computer programs, dictionaries, internet, and others. So I thought of those three things.
Right, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So what particular computer equipment or software do you use daily?
Yeah, I'm using a laptop now that has the following programs: Microsoft Word, XP,
mm-hmm.
Excel, Adobe, PowerPoint, Publisher, and internet. And the dictionaries that I'm using now are the wordreference.com.
Right.
And then I use the Granada University from Spain.
Right.
And the Velazquez Spanish and English that's online. And sometimes I use the Babylon, but I don't really like it too much.
All right.
Depending on what I'm translating, right?
Right. So
and then I have
the
other,
job.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then I have other manual dictionaries that... take up more time, but I rely a lot on the Appleton and the written Velazquez also.
Okay, very good.
Uh-huh.
And what kind of work can a translator expect to be doing the first 1 to 3 years of their career?
Okay, I would say that it would depend mostly on the line of work that the translator has determined to work in. In general, I would say that a translator can expect to be translating articles, letters, short stories, reports, and even maybe some simple books, right? So in my case, I have specialized on scientific and medical history and language arts.
Right.
Because that's more than more close to what I am right now.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And Many translators and participants with our CTP program ask us about compensation levels in the industry. So what should a translator within the industry expect to make after working for 3 years in the industry? What would be realistic?
Well, you know, I live and work in Bolivia. Therefore, the standards of translation payment is not compatible with the fees that are set overseas. Yet, because I have many years of experience in several fields, I charge the highest rates that are paid in my nation. And sometimes, you know, I'm not even paid that.
Right.
Sometimes I'm just asked to do it, and please, you know, can you lower your fee? You know?
Right.
But as to the question of how much translators should be paid after 3 to 10 years of service, I would expect them to receive top salaries, since they generate many other sources of employment, which are given through the translation or of technical or machinery manuals, right?
Right.
Textbooks for students in different fields, or sometimes live translations during seminars. People benefit from that. Now, translation requires demanding thinking skills. It drains the brain and body, and it is very hard to do a good job several hours in a row. So I think that translation should not be measured with the same standards as other jobs. Now, there are some countries that have laws that regulate how many hours an employee can spend translating, because it should he or she should have resting periods, you know, which are also regulated. Now, some studies even say that no person has the ability to translate simultaneously in a very effective way, you know, for more than 30 minutes at a time.
Right.
So they usually take sessions, you know, 3 sessions of 30 minutes, you know.
Right.
When you're doing simultaneous translation, excuse me. Yeah.
Right. I believe that's why when they have some projects that it's going to take over 1 to 2 hours, they must hire 2 interpreters because only one is not able to handle the work, which it's very true.
Mm-hmm. So since it is impossible to do, you know, such a task in a day, but if you take, like, let's say, 3 periods of 30 minutes, you can compare that to an 8-hour normal working day, in a sense, you know?
Right.
So I don't know any facts about translating texts, but it is definitely more demanding than other jobs, you know?
Right.
So I would say that the first 3 years should be compared to the salary that a junior engineer receives, you know? That's what I think.
I see.
I don't know if that answers your question, in a sense.
Yeah, for sure. And for you, what is the most appealing thing about working as a translator?
To me, it's an opportunity to meet people while I'm being exposed to new challenges in translating skills, you know, because I have a flexible schedule and, you know, it helps me from losing time while I move from my home to my job and vice versa, because I live kind of far away from town.
Right.
So this is like it's more like a job inside the house, you know, or a, or I can take my laptop and translate whatever I'm going, you know. It's freelance. It's beautiful to do it that way, you know. That's the most appealing thing.
Okay. Or, and for you, what is the worst or maybe the most challenged part about working as a translator?
Meeting unrealistic deadlines due to reckless planning, you know.
Right.
We have a saying in Bolivia that people ask you for things for yesterday, you know?
Right. You have to do it right away.
Yeah. So this I need for yesterday, you know? That's what they say. So an additional difficulty that I find is that when the original text is not correct in either grammar or expression, because this is mostly the main hindrance that you have when you're translating any kind of written text, you know? If it is not written in a language you can understand, you are in trouble, you know? And that is what takes the most time. It's so challenging, you know?
Right. And what are your top 3 tips for translation professionals who want to have a very successful career in the industry?
Okay. In my experience, it's to have technical tools at hand. For example, pencils, writing pads, online dictionaries, a printer and paper. That would be the first thing. The second thing for me would be to print the translated text, so that I can proofread it, right?
Right.
Because mistakes are not evident on the screen most of the time, but really jump out of the page, you know?
That's right.
And the third thing would be to comply with your employer's agreed deadlines. You know, there's nothing more annoying than delays caused by a lack of responsible planning, you know, on both parties, because sometimes it happens, you know.
Right.
So those would be the three tips, and they will be very successful if they comply to it, you know.
Very nice. And what is the number one most costly mistake that you have made within your translation career that you could share with others to help them avoid making the same mistakes? Does anything come to mind right now that others could learn from?
Oh, yeah. The most regretful mistake I ever made as a translator was to engage in a translation that demanded more knowledge of the technicalities of a text, you know. And
right.
I was in deep trouble with that. And I believe now that it is better to first assess your knowledge on the subject to be translated. And to be honest, if you don't know what to do with it, you know, and not even attempt to do it.
Right.
Because it's costly, you know, it costs you and it costs, you know, the company.
The client as well, yeah, that's right.
Because you can do a very bad job, you know, and you can be stressed out, you know, for nothing in the end.
Right. And in your position right now as a successful translator, what recommendations would you give for someone who'd like to start their career as a translator?
Okay, I would advise the new translator to acknowledge the fact that this trade is only possible through a true love for languages. You know, I love language, the
right.
speaking language, you know, and reading, because it is a service that provides jobs to others, you know.
Right.
And then I think that if a translator lacks patience or time, they should surely not will not enjoy this kind of a job, you know.
Right. And lastly here, many professionals pay a few hundred dollars to complete the Certified Translation Professional program. And I was wondering if you had any one last piece of advice you could provide or something you'd like to emphasize from this interview today that would be worth at least $400 to most translators over the length of their career. Do you have a $400 piece of advice that you could provide to everyone listening right now?
Yes, I hope it would help you guys. Thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to share about my experiences in this trade.
Sure.
So the piece of advice for starters, something that in my personal experience is worth above $400, is that translators should never attempt to translate materials that are offensive to gender or race or spread vulgarity or have political implications that could endanger their own lives or the lives of others, because our reputation as professional translators is at stake at all times. Because people, you know, when people ask for translators, you know, in any given business, they kind of have references about the people, you know, so this is very dangerous. I found that, you know.
Right.
And then in addition to that, I think that since languages are alive, translators should always be open to continuous learning and updating. We don't know everything, you know.
Right.
And the language is always changing in Spanish, in English, in all the languages, you know.
That's right.
Because of the internet and everything, you know, there's always new words and new idioms and everything, you know?
Yeah, that's so correct. All right, Pilar, thank you very much.
I have a little bit more to say, please.
Sure, go for it, yeah.
I wanted to say that as a single mother, I fiercely advocated myself to be an example to my children and to others. And that this, I think, it's important for people to listen to, that there were many times that because of my beliefs, I had to reject projects that could have ensured my economy for a long time,
right.
but that in turn violated my principles and integrity. So I think that is very, very important. So I must add that I never lacked opportunities to keep on translating, even when I had to reject work, you know.
Right.
But sometimes it is better to weigh the pros and the cons beforehand in order to succeed, you know.
Right. That's right.
So that's what I would like to give to people, you know, that piece of advice that I don't know if it will serve others or not, but in my case, it was very, very important.
Yeah, that's
so thank
good.
Thank you so much, Adrienne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much for your time today.